First, a bipartisan group of senators released a report this week detailing security failures in the run-up to the January 6th attacks on the U.S. Capitol. Now, some lawmakers are pushing to fix those failures, but some Democrats say there are still more questions to be answered about January 6th that report didn't look at. It's the week in Washington. We'll talk about that issue, plus a moderate Democrat coming out against his party's voting rights bill, and why bipartisan talks on infrastructure broke down yesterday, only to be replaced by other bipartisan talks on infrastructure. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you make of the breakdown in security at the U.S. Capitol ahead of January 6th? Do you want to see lawmakers come together to strengthen security at the Capitol? Do you want to see wider investigations? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Amanda Turkle is Washington Bureau Chief for the Huffington Post. Amanda, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Got a lot to talk about, Amanda, but a note from our producer here says we might get some background noise, possibly from the cicadas. What's going on?
Oh, my goodness. We have these millions of cicadas have come out centered around Washington, D.C. They come out every 17 years, and it's like, it depends on where you are, but in my yard, they are just all over. They are all over my porch, my yard, my sidewalk. They are so noisy. They're just everywhere.
And we saw one on the president, I think, yesterday.
I mean, there's one that held the plane. I think it was the press plane going overseas. I think a cicada has been responsible for a car crash or something too. It's, they're huge. If you haven't seen them, you should Google them.
I think we're scheduled for our batch in 2023 in Wisconsin, so we'll look forward to that. All right, now to the politics stuff. CBS News talked to a group of four senators leading this investigation. I just talked about looking at January 6th. Want to give a listen to a clip of each of them talking about the security failures that surprised them the most. Here's a listen.
The intelligence failure.
How long it took the Defense Department to respond.
The Capitol Hill police were not prepared in any sense.
Sadly, it was the frontline officers who were left to defend us, to defend our staff, and to defend democracy.
Those are Senators Gary Peters, Roy Blunt, Rob Portman, and Amy Klobuchar in order there. Amanda, what are some of the findings? What are some of the big things that came out of this bipartisan Senate report?
Sure. So the main finding, which at this point probably isn't a huge surprise, but this report had some new details. It's just that Capitol Police should have been prepared and should have been ready for the attack on the Capitol. We heard immediately after the January 6th attack that they just didn't know that there was the potential for violence, which didn't seem realistic to anyone paying attention to politics. And quite frankly, anyone who was living in Washington, D.C. I mean, my child's daycare is downtown, and it was closed around that day because they anticipated that there might be some problems. So the fact that Capitol Police said that they just thought this was going to be a normal demonstration, that there wouldn't be anything, it just didn't really seem believable. And it ends up, it wasn't the full story. One notable detail in the report is that Capitol Police intelligence officers knew as early as December 21st that protesters planned to bring guns and other weapons to the demonstration. But the problem was that through miscommunication and other failures, that didn't trickle down to the frontline officers who were the ones whose lives were at risk that day.
Are there calls in Congress to change how security works aimed at preventing future intelligence and decision-making failures like that?
Well, already, obviously, the Capitol Police and these other security agencies, you know, the leaders were forced out. There are new leaders there. And yes, I think there are calls that, you know, intelligence need to be, that they need to look more at the failures and to prevent them in the future. And this report is a first step toward that. But obviously, you're hearing Democrats say that there's a lot more that needs to be answered. And that's why they are pushing for an independent bipartisan commission to investigate it further. And there are, you know, while this report looked at sort of the security aspect, the one major omission is it did not look at what role President Trump had in encouraging the protest and, you know, responding to it and what his role is. And that's what Democrats obviously want to hear more about and what Republicans don't.
Now, Democrats calling for this commission. There was some bipartisan support in the House, but ultimately a filibuster in the Senate shut down the idea of, you know, the House and Senate agreeing on an independent 9/11 style commission. For Democrats pursuing this, what are they trying to do now to get some sort of independent commission on January 6th?
I mean, honestly, there really isn't much they can do right now. If you don't have the thing they want to do is to get rid of the filibuster, but they don't have the votes even within the Democratic Party to do that. But, you know, again, this is why a lot of people are frustrated with the filibuster. This commission had bipartisan support. It was not a purely Democratic commission, and it was based on the 9/11 commission, which also had Republican support. You know, it would be the members would be chosen by both Democrats and Republicans. Democrats would get to choose the chair of the committee simply because they control Congress, but Republicans, I believe, would get to choose the vice chair. Republicans and Democrats agreed on this in the House, but Republicans don't want this because it would bring up, again, the role of President Trump, but also the role that some Republicans had in this. You know, when did they talk to Donald Trump? They could be subpoenaed. What did they know about Trump's role? When they talked to the media, were they telling the truth about what they knew about Trump's role? And so I think Republicans, you know, they simply don't want this commission to continue to drag out talk about January 6th and Trump because it is bad for Republicans heading into the midterms.
Talking to Amanda Turkle, Washington Bureau Chief for the Huffington Post, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. Coming up in a bit, infrastructure, as always, and voting rights bills. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Common theme on a lot of these, the filibuster. Do you think it should stay or go? Pressure on some Senate Democrats to get rid of it, push back from enough Senate Democrats that it probably won't happen. Your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Amanda, yeah, I think your cicadas will try to filibuster our conversation here. I'm glad we get this firsthand perspective from them. This is cool. moving on now, another filibusterable issue, voting rights bills in the U.S. Senate, and a key Democrat, a moderate, playing a big role, saying he doesn't support one of the big Democratic efforts. What's going on with Joe Manchin and this voting rights legislation?
Sure. So this is H.R. 1, which gives an indication, the fact that it's the number one bill Democrats put forward, of how important it is to their agenda, the For the People Act. And it's just it's basically 60 pieces of legislation, democracy reform pieces of legislation, all stuck into one. And, you know, Democrats, in order to pass it, need first of all, they need to get rid of the filibuster. But even if they did that, they would still need every single Democrat to go along with it. And Joe Manchin, he had expressed skepticism, and he came out recently in an op-ed and said, I'm not going to support it. I'd like to see something more narrow, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. And his reasoning was he did not lay out any provisions that he opposes. His reason was simply Republicans don't like it and it needs to be bipartisan. And this was immensely frustrating for a lot of his Democratic colleagues, who thought that privately they might be able to convince him to change his mind. But the fact that he came out so publicly in an op-ed makes it a little bit harder.
Can you talk about this John Lewis Voting Rights Act? As you say, much more limited than this more sweeping H.R. 1. What kind of things would that do?
So the John Lewis Voting Rights Act would basically restore the provision of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 that was struck down by the Supreme Court in 2013 that required states with a history of discrimination to clear any proposed voting changes at the state level with the federal government. So a lot of supporters of H.R. 1 say the John Lewis Voting Rights Act is great, but it's very limited. It would not address all of the state voting restrictions being put in place now. It would only address ones going forward. And so that's why they want H.R. 1, because H.R. 1 would do things like establish minimum provisions like automatic voter registration and things like that. And that would invalidate a lot of these state laws, and states would have to abide by the federal law. Again, there are also other parts of the For the People Act that don't get as much attention, but actually are perhaps even more popular and considered less partisan. Things like increasing transparency for lobbying, sort of clean money provisions, you know, making campaigns rely more on small donors. These anti-corruption provisions that tend to be have bipartisan support and be very popular, those don't get as much attention. But a lot of people say Democrats should be talking about those more because those are harder for Republicans to say they're against. But, and obviously the John Lewis Voting Rights Act would not address any of that.
Is there any talk of taking H.R. 1 with all of its provisions and splitting it up, at least trying to pass some of the more popular things, or is it an all or nothing deal right now?
Well, I think there have been talks about that, but I think I don't think that's really going anywhere because most of the focus, obviously, again, is on the voting rights stuff. And so there's talk of like the voting rights stuff is so important and so you know, it's sort of imperative right now that let's break that out and pass that. But I think you're having other people say, now, wait a minute, you're by taking out the anti-corruption stuff, you're losing any bipartisan appeal this might have. I mean, right now, you know, part of the reason Joe Manchin likes this John Lewis Voting Rights Act is he said that he thinks it can get Republican support. Mitch McConnell has since come out, said he is against it. Lisa Murkowski, a moderate Alaska senator, has said she doesn't see enough Republicans going along with it to get 60 votes. And so really, you know, I'm not sure what Joe Manchin is waiting for or what he thinks he'll get, because it's clear that Republicans aren't really interested in going along with anything in the Biden agenda and in the Democratic agenda.
Right now, we're picking up our look at the top stories in national politics. Amanda Turkle is with us, Washington Bureau Chief for The Huffington Post. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on some of the latest news in Congress, including efforts to pass voting rights law changes held back probably by the filibuster. Infrastructure, filibuster might be in the way of that. And your thoughts on the filibuster, 800-642-1234 is the number to call. John joins us now in La Crosse. John, hi.
Hi. Okay, about the filibuster, is I believe that if the Republicans take back the House in 2022, they're going to vote to get rid of the filibuster. Then they can have a simple majority and stuff, you know, because I think they're more unified than the Democrats.
John, also, I think
that also in the future, it'd be nice, you know, for them to debate legislation, you know, so if somebody comes up with some a bill or something like that, and then you debate the merits of the bill, and then you debate like if you're against the bill. So somebody votes, debates about the positive.
I gotcha. John, thanks a lot for the call. So first of all, I was referring to if the Republicans retake control of the Senate in 2022, John thinking that they would get rid of the filibuster. On the other hand, Republicans controlled the Senate and the White House for a while there, didn't get rid of the filibuster, except for U.S. Supreme Court justices, and Democrats had gotten rid of it for lower court justices. I don't know, Amanda, is there a thought that Republicans, if the situation's reversed again, might take a step further in getting rid of the filibuster?
They could. I don't think they would do it quite yet because they would still face Joe Biden in the White House and, you know, potentially a Democratic-controlled House. And so, you know, even if they get legislation through the Senate, it doesn't seem like it will really go anywhere. So they might sort of save the filibuster elimination for a time when they can really use it. I mean, Republicans have time on their side. The way the Senate is set up, it's set up to favor those redder states and to favor Republicans. And, you know, that's why I think a lot of progressives are frustrated because they don't ever see a path for truly progressive legislation getting through the Senate, because no matter what, you're either going to have a Republican-controlled Senate or you might have one with Democrats, but they're going to be more Democrats who look like Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, who are more moderate.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. You mentioned Senator Kristen Sinema. You wrote about some pressure from one of her former supporters saying, hey, maybe she should get behind getting rid of the filibuster. What did we hear?
Sure. So that is her, the former Attorney General of Arizona, who at the time was Republican, very close to John McCain, worked for John McCain. And he, I talked to him last week, and he said that he has supported her. He thinks that she could still come around, but that she and Joe Manchin need to support the filibuster, they should get out of the Senate. So it sounds like if Sinema runs again and she still opposes getting rid of the filibuster, that Grant Woods may not support her anymore. And, you know, I'm not in Arizona. You know, Grant Woods and may not have the same pull that he once did. I think it was notable when he came out and endorsed her as a former Republican. But it does show that even people who supported Sinema or supported Manchin are getting a little bit frustrated that they're not doing what they can to sort of pass Democratic legislation, you know, while they have control of the House and the Senate and the White House.
Let's bring on another caller at 800-642-1234. Brad is with us in Jefferson. Brad, hi.
I have a major concern about the security, not only the security of the Capitol, but different parts of our government that have been infiltrated by white supremacists who want to impose their theocracy upon us, who are confused about what the Constitution is. You know, we the people is all of us. It's not just, you know, white Christians.
Brad, thanks for the call. Zooming, Amanda, that in toward the January 6th investigations that Democrats are hoping for, is that one of the things they'd be hoping to investigate, the role of white supremacy among protesters and especially those who went into the Capitol?
Yes, definitely. I think in the Biden administration, there's an increasing awareness that white supremacy, right-wing threats are a major source of terrorism right now, and something that the Justice Department needs to focus on. I haven't heard as much discussion about sort of white supremacists in government and sort of embedding themselves in the bureaucracy, but I do know that this is something that they're very concerned about in law enforcement. For example, we saw law enforcement officials, veterans, among the protesters on January 6th. We also saw some state legislators and candidates there. And so I think, I'm not saying that all of those people there were white supremacists, but it's something obviously that it's a threat that people are taking seriously.
Thanks for the call. We're talking to Amanda Turkle, Washington Bureau Chief for the Huffington Post, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. And Amanda, the eternal headline, bipartisan infrastructure negotiations fall apart. New bipartisan negotiations and infrastructure start up. What's the latest?
I mean, once again, it looks like for now, we're not getting an infrastructure bill. Senator Shelley Moore Capito, another Republican from West Virginia. West Virginia has had a lot of clout lately in Washington. She had been the main GOP negotiator working with the White House and with Democrats, and those discussions have fallen apart. Basically, they couldn't agree on how to pay for it. Biden and Democrats wanted to raise corporate taxes. Republicans did not. They said, absolutely, we're not going to go there. They were focusing more on user fees and basically repurposing unspent COVID funds. They were both also very far apart in how much they wanted to spend, with the Biden administration obviously wanting to spend more. So for now, Biden has said those talks are done. He's now focusing on what's called a G20 group, 10 Senate Democrats and 10 Republicans, including Sinema and some other folks. Shelley Moore Capito will probably be part of that, but we have more negotiations, and it's not clear what the end line is, or if we're actually any closer to a real infrastructure deal.
And I see on the House side, there's a group called the Problem Solvers Caucus. Both parties getting together, they have their plan now. Is anybody taking that seriously so far?
You know, the problem with these more moderate plans, and we have a piece up on HuffPost today about this, is that you're now having more progressive Democrats saying, look, just because the moderates come up with a plan, don't expect us to go along with it. We don't like that some of these moderates and Republicans are talking about stripping out some of the climate change provisions, for example, whether or not progressives, and to be clear, it's so far not the really high profile progressives like Warren and Bernie. It's you know, Senator Brian Schott, Senator Martin Heinrich. But they're saying, you know, you need to be careful not to take the progressive wing of the party for granted. You know, we're here with you. We want an infrastructure deal, but we don't want to compromise too much and take out, you know, all of this of what we believe in. And so, you know, Biden right now, I think Biden and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer want to show Sinema and Manchin and the moderates that they're negotiating in good faith with Republicans. And so even if no deal comes out of it, maybe Manchin and Sinema will say, we tried, but we're going to go along now with reconciliation and passing something without the 60 votes. But, you know, the clock is ticking. Biden wants to get this done. And how long is he going to keep these negotiations up for is the question.
And in just our last minute, Amanda, what is the big story you're watching for over the next week or two?
I think, you know, the question is how much of Biden's agenda can honestly get through these days? Republicans don't seem to want to work, with Biden and pass anything in a way that Democrats are okay with. Biden has encountered, you know, sort of this roadblock in terms of Manchin and Sinema. And there are some other senators who don't want to get rid of the filibuster. And barring anything like that, you know, how can he get through infrastructure, you know, climate change? You know, there's been talk about like gun safety legislation. And so, you know, again, it's not clear where Biden's agenda goes unless he gets some of these senators to give in a bit.
Amanda, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
That's Amanda Turkel, Washington Bureau Chief for The Huffington Post, with us today for our weekly look at some of the top stories in national politics.